It's that time again. It's another Friday night, and it's another edition of the Logic and Larry podcast. This is a pre-recorded version. I know the live listeners love the live versions, and some of even the recording listeners love the live versions because of the energy. I know. But I've just been so busy. I just wrote an article for On the Banks. Check that out, about Rutgers football and the Essex County young men that have made a huge difference in two really important road games this year so far. Shaquan Loyal out of Westside High School in Newark, and Al Shadi Salam out of East Orange High School. And I've been writing for The Newarker. A new edition of The Newarker comes out October 1st, and I've been crazy at work. A lot of things going on at work in my day job. So I've just been a little bit distracted, and so today I thought it best, with the weekend coming up that's going to be a little hectic, I thought it best to do a pre-recorded version of the show. But let me tell you at from jump, before we even start talking about anything, let me tell you from jump that October 6th, which is actually a Thursday because that week's going to be crazy, October 6th in 2 weeks, will we be back live. We'll be back live October 6th with Political Action Bracken to once again break down the electoral maps, the polling, the Senate races, the House races, and continue down that path. And we will have a live show, and we will be back every other week. And sometimes I'll be pre-recorded, but for the most part, we're going to try to stick to live shows. But first of all, let me tell you that everything I say on this show is strictly my opinion as a private citizen. I do not represent any other entity. I do not speak for or represent any other person, any public official, or anybody else. I'm simply speaking to you, expressing private and personal opinions as a private and personal private citizen. And nothing I say on this podcast constitutes legal advice. That being said, you know we keep it real. So let's jump right into the news. Let's talk about Ukraine, where Ukraine has successfully retaken several swaths of territory, large swaths of territory previously controlled by the Russians in the initial Russian wave of attacks on Ukraine. Now, in some of the Russian-controlled territories, there are referendum votes underway. And these referendum votes are designed to try to allow the areas that are predominantly Russian to defect and basically decide that they want to be part of Russia. They want to elect pro-Russian officials. And the West and Ukraine is calling this a sham, of course, because it is a sham. But Putin's going to do what Putin does, and Putin is getting his ass kicked in Ukraine. So now the latest from Russia and Moscow and the Kremlin is Putin is activating several reserves. So all these reserve military individuals, many of whom do not have any interest in serving in the military, many of whom are not adequately trained, many of whom have not seen any adequate or legitimate action on a battlefield. Putin is calling these individuals up to reinforce the front and reinforce the war against Ukraine. Borders in Russia have been overflowing, from what I've heard, with individuals trying to escape conscription, trying to escape having to serve in this unjust sham of a war. Yet Putin continues to double down. Putin also said recently that he would not hesitate to use nuclear weapons to defend Russia. Now, I've had enough of this dude. From his cockamamie efforts to influence the 2016 election by way of WikiLeaks, to his absurd, unjust war in Ukraine, to his empty, hollowed threats about what he will do. He can't even fight a war on his own front. He can't even fight a war on his own front, let alone arming nuclear weapons and going into an all-out World War III scenario. So I sincerely and severely question this man's ability to do anything. And I also sincerely question whether he's actually healthy and whether or not he's on his last leg and last breath. trying to just swing at the air and ruffle some feathers because he's losing in Ukraine. Ukraine is going nothing like he thought. Can we be clear? He thought he was going to march into Ukraine. Let's be honest. Putin thought he was going to march into Ukraine and within a few weeks inflict so much military damage and flex so much military might that he would have Russian loyalists at the highest levels of the Ukrainian government help to overthrow the Ukrainian government into either a pro-Russian government or allow large portions of Ukraine to be annexed entirely. That hasn't gone anywhere near what he thought. It's not even close. So now he's recalibrating. He's changing his positions and he's throwing stuff at the air. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. Reports have been out that his health is bad. I'm hoping it's true. I'm hoping we can get rid of this guy, Putin, because he's done nothing but cause trouble. But that's the latest news from Russia and Ukraine. So make no mistake, even though some other, you know, media outlets have fallen off a little bit on reporting, on the Logic and Larry podcast, until this conflict is settled one way or another, we are going to continue to discuss it on this show. And we are probably going to continue to open with it in a lot of episodes. That is the latest from Russia. In other news, Puerto Rico has been absolutely battered by Hurricane Fiona. The entire country, as I understand it, at one point had no power. Plumbing and power is a problem across the island. If you can donate anything to relief efforts in Puerto Rico, please consider doing that. Please consider that, because they need help. And I've just about had it with the United States' official position with regard to Puerto Rico. They are United States territory. Individuals who are Puerto Rican are United States citizens. This nonsense that we play, where Puerto Rico is a territory, but when disaster strikes or when they're in need of something, we turn and kind of shrug our shoulders as if they're not a true part of the country, is a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace, and that needs to change. And this hurricane is another example of why, at some point in my lifetime, we need to either make Puerto Rico a state of the United States, the 51st state, or let them be independent. But I would say that probably independence is a cop-out, because there's all this debt they're saddled with, all these issues they're saddled with, and to basically cut them off would be a disgrace and a dereliction of duty. For a country that claims it's altruistic and has, you know, positive democratic intentions across the globe, the way we treat our own territory is disgraceful. Disgraceful. If you can donate to Puerto Rico, please consider doing so. And let's continue to have the conversation about how that territory is being treated by the United States going forward. Further overseas news, and I wanted to get, you know, a steady dose of international news this week, especially because while we're in the midst of an election season, an election cycle, there's a lot going on internationally and not as much going on domestically, but we will touch on domestic issues. We will. So let's discuss and let's talk about Israel. Israel was in the news this week. And why was Israel in the news? Because it's unprecedented what happened in Israel. The Israeli Prime Minister Lapid, he backs a two-state solution. He came out and said that. He said that this week. That for the first time, Israel has taken an official position. An official prime minister has said that they support a two-state solution to the Palestinian conflict. That is huge news. Huge news. And it remains to be seen, and President Abbas of Palestine came out and said it was a positive development that Israel supported a two-state solution. But stressed the real test will be whether Israel commits to an immediate resumption of peace talks or not. And that remains to be seen, because one of the other interesting things about Israel and the Middle Eastern conflict and the Palestinian conflict is that there's an election coming up soon in Israel. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu may well get back into office despite the scandals, despite all the questionable nonsense he's done, despite his questionable judgment in international affairs. You know, sometimes I refer to him as Nut-Netanyahu. I can't stand Benjamin Netanyahu. I really can't. He may well retake control of Israel. And if he does, then you can, this two-state solution, you can basically stick a fork in it, because there's no way in hell he's going to embrace the same position. And that's the problem sometimes with international affairs, you know, being at the whim and the mercy of domestic politics, and domestic politics being so fickle and so divided in not just our country, but other countries around the world. You face the uncertainty in the international community, and they don't quite know which way to go. But it's still a positive development to see any official that high up in Israeli government saying they are embracing a two-state solution. That could really move the needle for a conflict that's been persistent throughout our entire lives. And it can really change the trajectory of world affairs. So it remains to be seen what will actually happen there. But it's something to certainly 100% keep an eye on. Now, back to domestic news. There's a couple items. First of all, in Trump world, the appeals court, so the DOJ appealed the decision to appoint a special master and to sequester certain documents and to essentially halt the investigation and inspection of certain confidential documents. And Trump continued to try to use the fact that some of the documents may be protected by executive privilege, thus disallowing the Department of Justice to continue its inspection to ascertain what, if any, criminal activity took place when he improperly removed the documents from the White House and stored them at Mar-a-Lago. The Department of Justice appealed Judge Gannon's decision to a higher court, the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals, a federal court of appeals that heard it, reversed the decision and allowed the inspection of the documents pertaining to Trump and the documents seized from Mar-a-Lago to continue. So it's big news. It's a big hit to Trump world. And it's good news for the country, because the investigation can now continue. The court process will take course. And I remember a lot of people were up in arms when the first ruling came out. But remember, things continue to churn, and there's always another appeal to be had and a legal concept and legal nuance wherein we can operate to continue these investigations. So we don't always have to overreact to the first ruling or the first thing that happens. You never know what's going to happen. And that's just a fact. So that's what's going on in Trump world. It's big news. A lot of people are discussing it. It continues the investigation. It's important. Now, in other news with Trump world, Timothy Hale Cusinelli, who I'm ashamed to say was from New Jersey, was sentenced to 4 years in federal prison for his role in the Capitol riot on January 6, 2021. He was one of the first rioters to break into the U.S. Capitol. He testified under oath that he didn't know that Congress met there, which is absurd. He is the individual who is posing as Adolf Hitler straight up with a small mustache and the face on social media, which you can see if you type in Timothy Hale Cusinelli into Google. You'll see his Hitler photo, most likely. This was a reputed and known white supremacist and Nazi sympathizer who was known to be one of the main and initial participants in the January 6th insurrection. He was sentenced to 4 years. It should have been longer. I wish it was longer, but it was 4 years. There is no parole in the federal system, so he's going to do his 4 years. But it's amazing that I was still speaking to people today on social media who are still trying to cast doubt on who perpetrated January 6th, as if it was some kind of inside job not related to the president, as if it was some kind of false flag operation. And it's absolutely insane the intellectual dishonest lengths people will go to protect their own sentiments and emotional cultural afflictions and affiliations with an individual like Donald Trump, who's proven to be treasonous and a crook and who lost the election. People were still not really applauding this white supremacist going away to prison and trying to deflect and still point to conspiracy theories about Democrats and pipe bombs at the DNC and whatever other nonsense. And it just shows how pathetic it's getting for people in Trump world. It's getting, quite frankly, pathetic when they don't even have an argument anymore to retaliate. They don't even have an honest retort. The best they can do is ignore the people who are actual, obvious racists and traitors and try to deflect and put the attention somewhere else. That's the best they can do. That's the best they can do. And that's a joke. But another one goes down, and more will continue to go down. And the investigation of the January 6th committee will continue. And the investigation of the Department of Justice will continue. And we will get to the bottom of this, and more heads will roll, figuratively speaking. And more things will continue to happen. But even as we're dealing with the blatant denial of the fact that January 6th occurred and who perpetrated it, we have the absurd antics going on across the South, where Governor Abbott of Texas is shipping migrants still to New York, busing migrants to the Naval Observatory, where Governor DeSantis is threatening to fly migrants to New Jersey, to New York. He doesn't even have a border. He's just got the water there. So what's his complaint? DeSantis was taking migrants from Texas just to ship them up here. And that just shows what a juvenile, absurd person DeSantis is. It shows how juvenile this political nonsense has become in this country. Actual governors of states are trying not to be one-upped by other governors of other states. And so are DeSantis is trying to take some of Abbott's migrants just to send them up here too, just to not be outdone by Abbott, so he can continue to have the MAGA spotlight, so all the MAGA stooges can stand around and laugh and cheer and applaud and maybe vote for him in 2 years. And these are people's lives. A migrant died in a New York City shelter last week. A migrant who was seeking asylum died in a New York City shelter. These are people who live and breathe. Whether they deserve to be here or not long term, whether they deserve to be granted asylum or not, is a question for the courts and the authorities vested with that authority to make those decisions. Shipping people to other parts of the country for political theater and using them as political pawns to impress people that don't know their ass from their elbow politically anyway is a disgrace to the offices they hold. It's a disgrace to this country and its country's purported, supposed tradition of opening its borders to the tired, the hungry, and the hardworking. It's a disgrace to legal doctrine, since seeking asylum is a legally recognized thing that one can do as a migrant. And it's a slap in the face to being a damn adult with some common sense and some dignity. And I'm sick and tired of seeing and hearing this nonsense go on. These are some of the things that are on my mind this week. And look, guys, this is this pre-recorded podcast this week. That's what it is. We're reporting the news. We're breaking it down. We're discussing the news. But it's just my thoughts and what I'm focused on in the news this week. It is what it is. This is what we're discussing. So in other news, and I know some of this, you know, is old news. Obviously, the investigation continuing with Trump and the appeal being overturned is a serious thing. But other than that, look, there's 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats co-sponsoring the Senate's bipartisan reforms to the Electoral Count Act of 1887. I've been beating the drum for this since it was signed initially. There's a bill in the Senate, just to remind you, that reforms our election laws, which will prevent states from manipulating their electors following the election results and will safeguard our elections going forward. It's one of the most important bills in the last 100-plus years. The last time it was updated was 1887. There are now 10 Republican co-sponsors. This bill has got to get passed either before the election or in the lame duck session. There is no way in hell that this bill can be left to wither on the vine until the next session, because if Republicans get control of the House, you can forget this bill passing. Unfortunately, that's how bad things have gotten on the right side of the aisle. This bill has got to pass. And with 10 sponsors on the Republican side, it has the votes to do so. The House passed its version of the bill, but there's a poll that says the Senate's version is more popular. Either way, the House passed its part of the bill, and the Senate now has to do its part. It has to happen. It just has to resolve its differences now with the Senate. So the Senate and the House now, where this bill is, the Senate and the House have to work together to resolve their differences. I think it will happen. There's a lot of Republican adversity to the bill in the House, but I don't understand how it wouldn't pass. I really don't know. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. They differ in certain areas, like how much of the House to challenge something would be needed to sustain an objection or sustain, you know, a question to certifying a state's electors, etc. It's technical stuff that's the differences between the two chambers. But despite all the talk and all the posturing and all the nonsense, the fact is that if this bill passes, it's a huge step forward. It goes such a long way in preventing this democracy from being undermined. It's so important. I will continue to beat that drum. I will continue to beat that drum. So we have good news this week if you support democracy, right? The Department of Justice is allowed to continue its inspection of the documents seized from Mar-a-Lago, given the appellate court's decision, overturning the lower court's decision. Russia's not good news, but, you know, at least they're still losing in most areas compared to what they wanted to do. Israel all of a sudden comes out with a proposed two-state solution. I mean, could there be light at the end of the tunnel? I feel like ever since 9/11, at least, we've had this dark cloud hanging over humanity, where it seemed like we were not going to get any traction and we were not going to get a good trajectory in humanity in general, that we were in a downward spiral toward chaos, injustice, and more war and conflict. But could there be light at the end of the tunnel? Can we pass this election bill? We've already passed so much other legislation under Biden. Could we have a two-state solution in Israel? It's not over yet. We've got to stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters across the globe who believe in the right thing, who believe in justice. to make these things happen. Netanyahu has to lose his bid. Trump, DeSantis, they have to lose in their attempts to exploit lives for political gain, and they have to lose in upcoming elections. Republicans have to nominate more just people like Mitt Romney or others that they have who actually believe in doing the right thing, although they might disagree on policy. The world has a chance. The world has a chance. And I'm not saying there's not a crisis at the border, because the border is a mess right now. The border is an absolute mess right now. Anybody who tells you otherwise has an agenda. It is a mess. Biden and Harris are not doing a great job at the border. They're really not doing a great job at the border. But that doesn't give you an excuse, Abbott and DeSantis, to play with human lives and exploit them. And it doesn't give the people on the sideline who cheer these people on an excuse from the comfort of their own homes, also the sons and daughters of immigrants themselves, to cheer it on and think it's funny or some kind of hilarious gesture. That just makes you a couch potato commentating bad person. You can't be a good person and cheer that kind of stuff on. You got to question what your motives are. But I think the righteous may win out. And the righteous also have to maintain our objectivity. And that's to admit there is a big problem at the border. Biden's doing a terrible job. He needs some consistency, some clarity, some resources at the border. Because while this is a disgusting political gesture putting human lives at risk, it's not as if Abbott is wrong in saying that there's a crisis at the border and that he's not getting enough help from the Biden administration. That remains true. That remains true, and it should be addressed. Now, I'm not going to go too long on this pre-recorded episode. I hope you enjoy, you know, the vibes. I hope you enjoy the music. I hope you enjoy the conversation, the news that I'm reporting. But I don't want to bore you too much on a Friday or whenever you're listening. I just want to give you a drop in, say hello, update you on the stories that we're following, update you on my take on the stories that we're following. Say hello, wish you a happy fall. By the way, it was recently just the first day of fall. And in Jersey, like clockwork, just like after Labor Day, 2 days later, it clicks in. It's fall weather. It's gorgeous out. The breeze is blowing through the air. Or isn't the breeze the air? I don't know. I'm rambling today. I'm a busy week, I told you. A very, very busy week. And this is probably not one of my better, most eloquent, most fluent, flowing episodes. And I apologize for that. But it's better than not having me at all, isn't it? It's better than not enjoying Logic and Larry at all. So I'm decided to get on the mic and say what I said. But the last story I want to touch upon really quickly is this. Has anybody been following this Brett Favre story? So apparently there's text messages that prove it. Brett Favre, in cahoots and in conspiracy with a government official who was involved with welfare funds, worked with this individual, who then worked with the former governor, to improperly misappropriate welfare funds to go to building a volleyball stadium at a college. It's just insane. It was Mississippi. Is anybody really surprised about that? It was Mississippi. But it's insane. It's pretty much known as the Mississippi welfare misappropriation scandal, but there are actual text messages. Actual text messages. Where Favre says, look, can they trace this back to me? He doesn't even say that because he cares about doing the right thing. He says, will the media be able to find out? That's what he cares about, the media. Favre asks whether the media will be able to find out that they diverted these funds unlawfully to the University of Southern Mississippi, which is his alma mater, to build a volleyball stadium. He just cares about getting caught. And the smoking gun is the text message. Let me tell you something, folks. These days, text messages are the smoking gun more often than not. Your phone has a bunch of evidence on things you've done and are doing. And if the government gets a hold of your phone through lawful means, like a search warrant, they can find out a lot about you. And Brett Favre is squarely in the crosshairs right now of the government. I think the feds may indict Brett Favre pretty soon. And you know what? Good for him. I never thought Brett Favre was that great of a quarterback, to be honest with you. I thought he threw it up in the air a lot of times. He threw plenty of interceptions for his touchdowns. I watched him go down with the Jets in 2008 when the Dolphins won the AFC East. And forget him off the field. This just shows that just because somebody has a certain image on commercials, in their Wrangler jeans, on the field, doesn't mean they're a good person. Doesn't mean you know them. Doesn't mean you can trust them. You don't know them. You don't know them. Now, there's a narrative out there that ESPN is not reporting as much about Favre as they reported on Vic. And that's some kind of scandal because ESPN's not giving any attention, blah, blah, blah. That's a false narrative. ESPN reported on this way back in actually July when none of you were posting about it. None of you knew about it. ESPN wrote an article saying, we think Brett Favre may be involved in this welfare misappropriation scandal. But it didn't get many legs. Then later, a month and a half later, when the text messages broke, all of a sudden, everybody's talking about it and saying ESPN's not reporting on it. ESPN is writing articles about it. Yes, they are. But let me explain something to you, and this is part of where false narratives come from. It's kind of like when people say, well, why don't you pay teachers the same amount of money you pay professional athletes? And everybody's like, yeah. And it's just a false narrative. Well, why don't you pay the WNBA players the same amount of money you pay LeBron James? And everybody's like, yeah. Guys, there's very basic common sense things about human nature and human society that you have to understand, okay? Teachers can't get paid as much as pro athletes because there's way more teachers. And because pro athletes generate so much revenue with the merchandise and tickets and media rights that they sell, that they warrant that kind of money in the free market because they generate that kind of money. Teachers are great people. They do a great service. We need them. They should be paid better. They should be taken care of better. But they're not going to get paid as much as a pro athlete because the market doesn't work that way. And it wouldn't make economic sense to be able to do that. We couldn't afford it. The WNBA players don't get paid as much as the NBA players for the same exact reason. They don't generate as much revenue. If the market went to go see all the female players as much as they saw the NBA, paid as much tickets, bought as much merchandise, then they'd get paid as much. That's not what happens. Same thing with this Favre-Vic comparison. First of all, it's not a comparison. You can't compare completely unrelated things and then run with it and say it makes some kind of grand point. It doesn't. Michael Vick was a star quarterback when he got caught, currently playing in the NFL. Brett Favre is a washed-up retired quarterback who, despite his glory days in Green Bay, went down terribly with the Jets and then went down like a joke with the Vikings with that terrible pass. It's a financial crime. It's a white-collar financial crime versus cruelty to animal crime. How many cruelty to animal stories do you see that are from the middle of nowhere or even another country that you scroll and see every day on your social media? Because animal cruelty and dogs and pets are more of a hot button issue. They're just going to attract more attention in the first place. So the buzz is going to feed. I've talked about this with the media. The media puts out what the public clicks on, and it's this vicious cycle that just allows the media to basically just be another marketing capitalist platform instead of having integrity, and they just spin and spin and spin based on the sentiment from the public, and it's just a vicious cycle, a vicious feedback loop. People are less interested in a retired quarterback and a complex financial crime that they don't understand than they were in a current starting quarterback and cruelty and murder of dogs by hanging them and God knows what else. That's not a conspiracy by ESPN to support Favre and destroy Vic. That's just the nature of this society and human beings in general. So stop with the false narrative. That being said, I thought Vic should go to jail for what he did to those dogs, and he did. I thought he was right, and he had a right to rehabilitate himself and to play again. And the people saying Vic should never play again. How dare you have Vic on anything? How dare you have Vic do any? I don't agree with that. The man served his time. He deserves a second chance. He deserves rehabilitation. He deserves to have a life. With Favre? Now Favre's caught doing a despicable, filthy crime. Using his power and influence in a state that's long been impoverished, that's long had corruption, pulling strings to take it from those most vulnerable, Favre is doing scumbag things and committed a serious, severe crime. And therefore, I think Favre should go away and do time. And he should be chastised for this. And he should be taken to task for this. And he should be locked up. If all this bears out is true. And they should do a full investigation and prosecute him to the full extent of the law. Assuming those text messages are what they are, which doesn't seem like they're not. I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory. That being said, enough with the false narratives. We don't have to make grand societal proclamations and bring up Michael Vick from however long ago. It's really not the same thing. And I'm sick of seeing silly memes all the time that constantly try to hammer these silly narratives. And then everybody starts parroting and retweeting and reposting these narratives. And it's just bad for intellectual thought and actual dialogue in this country. But I just thought it was interesting. Favre, American football guy, Wrangler jeans, throwing the ball in a sweatshirt on Thanksgiving Sunday. He's a crook. He's an absolute crook. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? But look, it's been a great time spending a little bit of time with you guys this week. I'm happy Logic and Larry is back. I apologize that this is a pre-recorded version. Things are just so crazy nowadays, like I told you. But October 6th, we are back with Sean Political Action Bracken. He's been keeping up. And if you haven't yet, keep up with the posts. I'm reposting Sean Political Action Bracken on the Logic and Larry group, on my own Facebook page, because he's been following the polls and the current races very closely. And I will have him back on October 6th to touch base and see where we are with the election, because these midterm elections are going to be pivotal. And we will once again break down the news, the latest stories, my latest opinions, and we will once again take your calls and interact with the live audience on October 6th. We will be simulcasting once again live on Facebook and on YouTube. And once again, this podcast will be available on every major platform. Amazon, Audible, Stitcher, Apple Music, you name it. iHeartRadio, we will be available. So for everybody out there enjoying my voice and my opinions and my perspective, stay tuning in and stay sharing the show. We continue this endeavor to try to expand intellectualism and objectivity as we go, incrementally if need be. But thank you for joining me this week. I hope you all have a beautiful weekend. I hope you're loving the fall weather. I'll see you all out there in person on social media and whatnot. And I will see you all back here live October 6th for Logic and Larry with Political Action Bracket. Until then, good night. And I'll let the show play out on one of my old songs. This is Illuciato with Ask Around.
Under a black light, even when sober, I just can't act right. Life feels over. Tell me, ain't that trite? But I'ma keep moving till I'm dead. A price overfed and white till they send me that Christ. They say my swag, smoking hot. They say my style got a lot. Full ass around, I'm about to pop. Full ass around, I'm about to pop. They say.